When last we spoke with Iowan Jay Wilson back in 2011, he was just completing a 46-day beer fast for Lent. That's right. For nearly 7 weeks, Jay Wilson consumed only water and beer. It was apparently a type of fast that German monks practiced for Lent centuries ago. And it was all part of Jay Wilson's investigation into the origins of Doppelbock, a type of beer, and the book that resulted, titled Diary of a Part-Time Monk, put out in 2011. Now Jay Wilson is out with a new book, Iowa Pints, A Guide to Iowa Breweries. Jay Wilson lives in rural Adams County near Corning in southwest Iowa, from where he joins us. Jay Wilson, hello again.
Hello.
So tell us, what was your mission here with Iowa Pints?
Well, the mission here was basically, I guess a few months ago, I was reading about the number of states that have brewery guidebooks. I own a couple of them myself, and I realized that Iowa did not have a brewery guidebook. And if you take a look around the state at this point, in the last couple, 3 years, it's the numbers have really grown. It's grown all over the country, but it's grown in Iowa, too. So we're pushing 50, you know, at that point, we were pushing 50 breweries. And I thought, well, Iowa needs to have an Iowa brewery guidebook as well. And I guess I'm the right person to do that project. So I set out over the course of the last 8 months or so, visited every place I could, and come out with that book just this week. So 56 breweries in the state of Iowa today.
And you took visits to most, if not all of them. Tell us, pick out a couple favorite visits that linger in your memory.
Wow, that's like comparing your children, I guess. and there certainly are apples and oranges. There are some really cool spots, though. I guess in your neck of the woods over there by Iowa City, I would highly recommend Back Pocket Brewing Company in Coralville. That's a really good spot. They really focus on German-styled beers, by and large, lagers, by and large. Though they do have some, you know, creative, interesting twists here and there, and some other beers that folks be familiar with. But they do just ridiculously good work there. Tiny little spot, 10-gallon setup in Waterloo called Gorilla Brewing Company, which is just exactly that. It's very guerrilla and covert operation. They tap one keg every Thursday. When it's gone, it's gone. You don't see that beer again. They don't have
just for neighborhood
on tap.
Just for neighborhood consumption, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the way it was back in the old days. You know, everybody had a small town brewery. And come Prohibition, that all disappeared. And today, you know, there are a lot of people that are trying to come back to that and open a small community brewery to fuel their local population. They're not worried about making sure people in Florida or California or Maine or Alaska have their beer. They're fueling the local taps. So it's kind of a beautiful thing.
I know another one that's made a big splash also outside of Iowa, in Decorah, isn't it? Toppling Goliath.
Yeah, absolutely. If you like hoppy beers, then, you know, Toppling Goliath is probably on your radar. They do really good hop-forward beers of national and international acclaim, for that matter, even though they're pretty limited in their distribution scope at this point.
Now, hoppy beers have come to the fore in recent years. Why have we become, here in America, so hop-crazy? Why do we love the bitter, the beautifulness, the beauty of bitter on our palates?
Yeah, I think Americans are, I don't know, we just take everything to the extreme. We amp things up a notch, and when it came to our palates shifting and growing and our interest widening, we started to throw more of this and more of this, and hops just kind of became a thing. It's a bitter component to the beer. It provides balance for certain beers, and for IPAs, India Pale Ales, you know, it's more aggressively bitter, and specifically American hops have a more profound sort of citrus and pine element to it. Americans like to kick everything up a notch, and hops have been a really big piece of that puzzle as the craft brew movement has evolved, I guess.
Is that the chief way which we here on the North American continent have departed from European brewing of beer?
Yeah, there's a time when European brewing was the best beer on the planet, and, you know, American brewing wasn't taken very seriously, but in the last you know, 20, 30 years or so, or a little bit more than that now. I mean, Americans are brewing some of the best beers on the planet. Americans are now influencing English brewers. English brewers are not using just English hops. They're checking out our hops now. They're using more hops, not just a little bit. German brewers, you know, I mean, the Belgian brewers, you know, are taking note of what we're doing with some of their original styles, and it's forcing them to make some evolution themselves. So we're influencing the old world now a little bit.
You mentioned the boom in craft beer in recent years, not only in Iowa, but across the country. Here in Iowa, the real boom has taken place since 2010, this craft beer renaissance. What happened in 2010? Remind us that prompted the beer boom here in Iowa.
Absolutely. A few years ago, it was about a 6% alcohol by volume limit for what brewers in Iowa were allowed to produce. So that really limited probably 75% of the world's beer styles. Iowa brewers were not allowed to make them, or not in a position to make them sort of traditionally appropriate or stylistically appropriate, if you want to speak like that. So there are lots of Belgian beers, lots of, you know, higher alcohol, like a Russian Imperial Stout or a Scotch Ale or a Doppelbock or some of these larger, higher alcohol beers, really interesting beers, but Iowa brewers couldn't make them. And they were sort of hamstrung by laws that allowed out-of-state brewers to just to distribute those beers that they've made, let's say, in Chicago. They could send higher than 6% alcohol beers to Iowa, but we couldn't compete with them. And so that law change, signed by Governor Culver at the time, you know, really opened up the possibilities. And that's why these last few years there's been such exponential growth in the breweries themselves.
So let's look forward here quickly as we end this conversation. You said 50-some breweries in Iowa. They've been popping up in every corner of the state. Are we headed back towards more than 100 breweries in the state? When is our landscape saturated with breweries?
Yeah, people talk about that saturation point quite a lot, and I think most breweries welcome more breweries. They work together, and rising tides, you know, raise all ships is kind of the mentality. Sure, there's some business to it, and sure, there are copyright concerns, and you'll see some lawsuits between breweries now. There's so many, and there are only so many cool beer names, so you've got to protect your property. But I think there's room for a lot more breweries in the state of Iowa.
Jay Wilson, I'm going to raise my glass to you next time I have a craft beer. Author of Iowa Pints, A Guide to Iowa Breweries, a new publication out. Jay Wilson, thanks for joining us again.
Thanks, Ben. I appreciate it.